And welcome to Como Explained. It's the new podcast from the KBIA Newsroom. We take some of the thorny issues and politics that affect our community, and we break them down for you. I'm Scott Pham, the digital content director here at KBIA. My co-host is Ryan Familiner.
Hey, I'm the assistant news director here at KBIA, and I'm also the host of Intersection. So on Monday's show, we talked about gun control, the big issue of gun control.
Yeah, normally how this show goes is we tie those two topics together, what Intersection is doing and what Como Explained is doing, try to take a different perspective on it. Usually I get a chance to see the show that Ryan does, but I missed it today because I was busy. So how did the show go?
So yeah, Ryan? here's an hour and a two-minute nutshell for you. So we had a constitutional lawyer, a lawyer who specializes in constitutional law, but also has been a trainer for concealed carry permit holders. And also then we had a columnist from Columbia, Missouri on there. And basically the goal of the show was to have a tempered conversation about gun control, to talk about we kind of stole Como Explained's idea. We spent a lot of time explaining some of the issues.
I knew that was going to happen.
Yep. It's getting pretty meta in here. so we spent a lot of time explaining, especially the Senate legislation, or the U.S. Senate bill that had failed a few weeks ago, some of this very pretty substantial gun control legislation, talking about things like, assault rifles, magazines, how many bullets they should be able to hold, the loopholes and background checks for internet and gun show sales, a few other things, gun traffickers. There were a bunch of things in here. Basically, they all got shot down. If you remember President Obama's press conference where he was furious. Basically, we were kind of rehashing that, but also talking a little bit more about what's going on in Missouri as well. So we kind of broke down what each of these different measures are, how they work on a regular basis in the state. You know, what you have to do to get a gun here in Missouri, what concealed carry looks like here compared to other states, and then we also again spent a little bit of time talking about what Missouri's like at the moment too, which is everybody. Guns are a big deal in Missouri in general.
Yes, they are.
Which we'll talk a lot about today.
Did you get any callers?
We got one caller.
Just one caller. I would have thought that it'd be off the hook with people really into this issue.
We talked about that afterward. That's the thing about Intersection. We'll do a show about ward redistricting that we're not going to get anybody to call. And we'll get 15 calls.
Yeah.
And then we do a show on gun control, which you think, yeah, everybody has an opinion or we're just going to scream at us. And we don't get a call. We got one call. But you think we get calls from both sides. And because the guys we had on both leaned one way and the other, but they weren't. There was a lot of middle ground as well, so that kind of it fostered a good conversation. But we were expecting more outliers or people on much further ends of the spectrum. We didn't get a whole lot of that, but we did get somebody trying to compare gun registration to vehicle registration, saying why can't they be the same? Why aren't we? You want to know who drives a car and who gets in an accident? Why isn't it the same way for guns?
It's not an unreasonable thing,
right? And our constitutional law guy, who again has been a trainer, I would say probably. He told me he belongs to the NRA. He doesn't agree with everything the NRA does, but he belongs to the NRA mainly because he does these trainings and needs to, is what he told me. But his immediate answer was, the Second Amendment protects my right to own a gun. It does not protect my right to, or there's no amendment, the Bill of Rights doesn't protect
my
ability to
own
a car. Now, granted, the founding fathers probably didn't have that in mind. But regardless, that was his answer, and it went from there. But
yeah,
it still fostered some conversation. But that was kind of our goal, was to avoid a lot of this, because that was immediately what the caller said was, I don't agree with that. And then he was not going to agree. It was one of those things where, okay, you disagree, and that's not going to change. But he was still able to talk a little bit about, okay, what from a gun owner standpoint, or people that are opposed to, a kept database of gun ownership. Why are they opposed to it? What's the issue there? So
yeah,
it still fostered some good responses. So
that's one of the reasons why this issue is so crazy sometimes, because it's one of those issues where it's not politically expedient to make compromises. It has so much to do with people's ideologies that it's not so much like, is this a good policy? Is this a bad policy? It has to do with like their identity as gun owners or their identity as anti-gun people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was kind of one of our last points, was that it's all politics when you get right down to it. And it's tough to have a calm conversation about it
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to talk more about that. The topic that I really want to get into today, which I think has been a really fascinating story in the legislature right now, is this whole crazy war against the Department of Revenue from the Missouri legislature. And I'm saying that partially to because it sounds exciting that way, but it's not so far off, right?
No, yeah. Like if the state budget were to pass, yeah, you're not getting a driver's license next year. Better go get it now.
Yeah.
They zeroed it out or the proposals have very little funding for the Department of Revenue.
Yeah, now the Department of Revenue is getting kicked around. And a month ago in this scandal, the director of the Department of Revenue, Brian Long, resigned under pressure. So let's talk about what exactly this whole thing is about. Why is the legislature so upset with the Department of Revenue of all departments?
So when you get a concealed carry license in the state, you have to give them a lot of information about yourself, right?
Yeah. And you start not at a government office necessarily, but you start at your county sheriff.
Right. So you start there and you're providing this information, which is then shared. I mean, you're having to get a background check. Concealed carry is one of the things we talked about that on the show that you're going to have to – you actually have to go through an 8-hour safety training before you're able to. So there is a lot of information about you that's going to be in this concealed carry application. So this whole thing started when I can't remember which county it was, but there was a guy that went in to get a CCW, and they were scanning his documents, and he said, "Hey, why are you scanning my documents?"
Yeah, and that's a new thing. The Department of that is at the DMV. They were scanning his documents.
Yes.
And it used to be the DMV would not scan documents of that type.
Right. And he said, "Hey, why are you doing that?" And then there was basically it came to be understood that this information was being provided to the federal government, and at the first time that seemed like that was. A pretty large claim. It's a large claim because that actually is in violation of state law. Now we'll talk more about it. There's a little bit of debate on whether it was actually what was a violation. But state law, obviously, the government keeps all kinds of records depending on different permits, like your license, your driver's license, your hunting license, your fishing license. All this information is kept in different ways, and there's different availabilities to it depending on the Freedom of Information and Sunshine laws. So. Concealed carry permits in the state of Missouri are closed records, which mean that they are available to different state entities, right? So, but they aren't available to federal entities. They aren't available to general members of the public. Okay, so they're closed records. Where by comparison, like actually your hunting license, your fishing license, that information is actually available unless you say you do not want it to be available.
Right. So as a private citizen, I can go to whatever agency it is that does that and say I want to take a look at all of the hunting licenses in my county. Can you show them to me?
Yeah, you probably would have to put in like a Freedom of Information Act request or a Sunshine. Actually, it would be a Sunshine law request at the state level, but those would be most likely upheld. It might be more of a pain than walking right up to the counter.
Yeah,
you should be able to see them. But concealed carry is different. Concealed carry is closed. Last numbers I saw, it's literally down the middle. About half the states in the U.S. have it a closed record. The other half have it an open record. There have been some stories about newspapers that have published lists of all of the and people have been furious, like,
they're
going to break into my house and steal my guns now that you told everybody I have one.
I was just Googling that right before the show. I think it was in upstate New York. A paper there had FOIA'd all of the CCW, all the concealed carry licenses in the two counties they cover in their paper, and they actually plotted it on a Google map so that you could kind of zoom in and find out these people's names, where they live, how many guns they have.
Yeah, I'm all for public service journalism, but I'm not sure what the thought was behind that or why that's completely – I mean, it seems like that probably has a pretty specific agenda on why you think that's information that should be out there. But regardless, in that state, that's available information.
Yes.
But in Missouri, it's not. So we could never do that at KBIA.
No.
Rest assured, gun owners of Boone County.
I've actually looked into concealed carry and in my own reporting, and sheriffs will share with you the number of licenses they give out. They'll tell you when they gave them out, what kind of licenses they were. I can get everything but the actual document and the name of the person on
it. And that's meant to protect people's privacy.
Yes.
And so knowing that, then word gets out that it may have gotten to the federal government may have actually got a hold of this list. And it turns out that, yes, the state – so it went from – help me with this, the progression of where it went from. The documents started at the sheriff's office. They went to the highway patrol.
Well, usually, usually what happens is you go to the sheriff's office, you fill out the application, you prove to them that you did all the things you need to do to get that license, including going through a federal background check and doing your training. And then they will give you a document that I believe you actually need to physically take it to the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the DMV will issue you the actual proof of having CCW. And that is usually done by putting it on your driver's license. And more often than not, gun owners are loath to have the fact that they are a gun owner on their license, because you do have to give your license out to people on a right. somewhat regular basis. So they'll usually get a separate ID. You'll get like just a regular state ID or something that is not a driver's license. And then they'll print on it that you are a CCW person. And then I guess what happened in this whole crazy mess was that investigators working with the FBI at the Social Security Administration asked the Highway Patrol for documents. Right. And the Highway Patrol said, well, we have to get them from the Department of Revenue.
Right.
And then they asked the Department of Revenue. The Department of Revenue gave it to the Highway Patrol. And then the Highway Patrol gave it to the FBI.
Right.
And that last exchange of information is the one that so upset the Missouri legislature.
Right. Because that is the state law says that shouldn't happen. It can be shared to the Highway Patrol. That's fine. But it can't be shared to the federal government. And that's where everybody – yeah, so that is in violation of state law. But there is federal grounds for why – this gets into that whole debate about federal versus state laws and the supremacy clause and all that kind of stuff. But there is a law that allows any kept government record to be shared with the federal government during a legitimate investigation, some phrase like that. So one reason why people are very upset is because really from what's been reported, it was not a subpoena or something like that. It was really shared relatively easily. There
right.
were a lot of government entities that knew it was going on and – or someone at these government entities rather knew it was going on and it was shared.
Right. And this happened on two separate occasions. So it wasn't like all of the documents at all times were going there. It was two asks for this information.
Right. And so – that, as you said, has sent many people into a fury, gun owners, and basically the Republican-led legislature. Many Republicans have had literal tirades on – one Republican in particular has had a literal tirade on the floor.
The people that seem to be most upset about it are Kurt Schaefer, who actually represents Boone County,
mm-hmm.
and who's the other guy?
Brian Nieves. Is that who you're thinking of?
Brian Nieves? No, I was thinking of –
he's the tirade I was alluding to.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, tell me about that guy. What did he do?
When Senator Schaefer was – and Senator Schaefer has been pushing this very heavily, and we should talk about him because he's our senator here.
Right.
You and I believe, are represented by him in the state level.
Yeah.
Most people in Boone County are as well.
He's the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee.
Senate Appropriations Committee.
I think that is the post that he is using to
kind of
–
scold the DOR, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Nieves was just somebody who's very outspoken. A senator from the St. Louis area. I'd say that St. Louis is huge, right?
Yeah.
But he basically just was very furious and went on a 10 or 15 minute kind of do you believe this is happening? Tirade, I guess, is the word I've seen thrown around. But Senator Schaefer is also, Senator Schaefer has not just yelled on the floor and not as loud as Nieves did, but he has taken some action. That's what you kind of alluded to. He's using his position. He's actually in these first negotiations. We alluded to it earlier. He said, we're not going to give the DOR any money until we figure out what happened here, until they and the governor, basically help us look into this, cooperate with our investigation to figure out what happened here and whether someone broke some laws in letting this occur. And there is a lot of debate over whether the governor actually had any knowledge that this was going on. Depending on your political allegiance, a lot of people seem to have an opinion on whether or not that was the case. It's probably going to be hard to ever prove that either way.
I'm just going to say it. I feel like I don't know if Nixon would care. You know, because this is one of those things where not everybody cares, right? Like, I think for those of us who do not have concealed carry licenses, it's not intuitive that it would be so upsetting that one government agency would have it versus another.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, before the story really got down, I hadn't really considered, like, whether or not the federal government would have access to these records, because it didn't seem – I mean, because I know the state government does. They have free access to these records, so it didn't seem to me that big of a deal if the federal government does or not.
No, I'd agree. And knowing how public records work, having put in FOIA and Sunshine requests many times, when I first saw the story too, I thought, well, they probably legally could be shared that way, because most government records can be shared. It's surprising to me, and this is where you're going too. It was surprising when I found out that concealed carry is different, that it is in a different class than some other records, even driver's licenses.
Right.
It's something that I didn't really realize before this story. So the legal claims are valid, right? Because mm-hmm. that's the case. But when I first saw the story, I probably had the same reaction you did, that it was – I was
right.
just thinking, well, that's how public records work. Of course the federal government can get what they want.
Yeah, because yeah. I hope I don't have to say this. I hope this is something that everybody knows, but the exchange of information between government agencies is important to the functioning of a bureaucratic government, which is the kind of government that we have. You know, like you were supposed to be able to share information. But
right.
I mean, that's neither here nor there, because it is a fact that the concealed carry licenses are different. They
are
just
a closed
are.
Record. Yeah, and that was something that came in after the Sunshine, because FOIA laws came in. And I want to say the 60s, they got strengthened after Watergate, and then Sunshine laws basically followed suit, came in shortly after FOIA, also got strengthened. So they're great tools for a lot of people, but they also, you know, there's different classes for this different information. And
right.
that's something that we've taken a look at. Alex Olgan, maybe we'll link to it on the page for this. Alex Olgan did a great story about mm-hmm. these other records that are out there too, and what the government can and can't do with your information. Again, the joke was you can still get their hunting. I can still find out who has a hunting license, so I still could probably figure out who some of the gun owners are in the state, and I could go request that information right now if I wanted to.
Right. So let's. We should also say apparently the reason why the Social Security information wanted these documents was that it was basically a phishing expedition to try to catch fraud unrelated to firearms.
Right. And it's still not really exactly clear. There was a big, and I haven't been able to go back and read transcripts or anything like that, but there was a big hearing where some of these actual investigators came in, which is very unusual, came and went to a legislative hearing and answered questions about their investigation.
Right.
A hearing here in Missouri.
Yeah, it's not often that federal powers will subject themselves to the authority of a state government.
Yeah,
like
which
that.
Well, it wasn't really authority. It was kind of just like hanging out. But they were doing somebody a favor, basically, is what it seems like. Because why else would they? They're definitely not required to. Is what
yeah,
you're
they didn't
at.
Have to show up. Yeah,
yeah they didn't have to. But they did. But yeah, you're getting at it. It was defined fraud and Social Security. It was kind of just phishing. It didn't seem like they had any specific thing they were targeting. And then the other thing that has been claimed by these investigators is that they never actually accessed the information.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous thing. They got it in CD-ROM format, and they put it in their computers, and then I guess they just didn't work, and they gave up.
And they gave up, and they. But apparently there was like a password, and that was what Nieves was screaming about, that they had the password. They had to have seen it.
I don't even know why they would bring that up. Why would they tell everybody we couldn't even access it?
Because
the people that hate you aren't going to believe you.
Yeah.
And the people that believe you think you're an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, here's the thing. We're completely inept. That's the thing.
Listen, we're not even smart enough to open up the CD, so don't be afraid of us. It's a poor argument.
No. Yeah. That is funny that's the excuse. But, and who's to say it's not true? Because it sounds like they didn't necessarily need the information. But I guess that's the thing that makes a lot of people upset about this is that unless they it's the whole legitimate investigation thing, was this really necessary for them to have this information? Apparently not, if they didn't use it. And so then why was it so easy for them to get this information? Basically probably the reason, my guess, the reason somebody from the Department of Revenue, the head of the Department of Revenue, actually probably he resigned. I'm not going to try to imply anything because the governor's office said he wasn't asked to resign, but when it comes down to it, they didn't protect the records. They didn't take many measures, at least that's been proven yet, to try to protect the records according to state law, which that's going to make a lot of people at the state level upset, especially given the whole, again, I've alluded to it, but this whole state versus federal. I mean,
Right. Well, let's get into that.
That's a common theme in Missouri right now, right? I mean, look at you know, there were two presidential or two main, you know, November elections in a row where where Missouri passed basically what were just slaps in the face to Barack Obama's Affordable Health Care Act, where, yeah. you know, things that were completely unconstitutional and we're not going to hold up, not yeah. unconstitutional, but we're not going to hold up in court, basically saying we're not, you know, you can't force people to have health care. You know, you can't make us set up this. The last one was you can't make us set up this basically Expedia for healthcare that we were going to have, and you can't make us do that. But it's not going to stop anything. But it was just a slap in the face. It was just a we don't like what you did, Mr. President. So yeah, that's kind of just a theme at the moment. And so yeah. this is kind of to me that's one of the things that are at play here is that this is kind of a manifestation of this whole sentiment, and it's a pretty clear point where the state didn't go to extra measures to uphold its measure, just, you know, gave in to these federal laws that it wasn't necessarily clear, depending on who's on what side of the debate you're on, wasn't really clear whether it was a legitimate investigation yet or if it was just kind of fishing, like you're saying.
Yeah. There's definitely this whole thread of trying to resist federal authority in yeah. Missouri politics. But I think it's also a thread that's in it's in gun politics and has been for some time, where in red states like Missouri, and gun owners feel very confident in their local leaders' supports for gun rights. I think that's one area where Missouri Republicans are, you know, they're getting that A grade from the NRA checklist every year after year. They're very good at protecting the rights of gun owners in Missouri. But few people have faith in the federal government's commitment to doing that. So there is a belief among some people, and I'm not saying all gun owners feel this way, but there's a belief among some people that the federal government will at some point literally take guns from the houses of people, you know, that like, yeah. and that is, I think that's one fear. There are other fears too, but I think that's one fear that's behind a lot of the, a lot of fear of registration, permit systems, and data that like if Uncle Sam knows where you live and that you have a gun, then you become a target for some
yeah.
reason.
And I feel bad for laughing. It was more the way you said it but that came up on this week's show. But the constitutional lawyer we had on, you know, mentioned this isn't unprecedented. It happened in Australia. You know, it can happen. The government can go in and decide, you know what, never mind, we don't want guns.
Now, not our government.
Yeah, well, that's just because
it's happened in democracies,
Not ours, right. Yeah. yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, it's unprecedented in the U.S., of course.
Right.
But the other problem is there are 300 million guns out there.
Yeah.
So how are you going to realistically go out? And so many of them are already not traced. You know, you won't be able to track everything that's out there. So, yeah, there's definitely a practicality issue in that, right?
Yeah. Could we?
Right.
We
and also, to? You know, back to it is the Second Amendment. It is something that is guaranteed.
It's called out.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Now, whether you want – I mean, there's obviously, you know, many different interpretations of the Second Amendment, but I don't think anybody would try to say you shouldn't be able to have guns at all. That's what the Second Amendment says, right? So that would be a pretty major sticking point, and it definitely is already. So I think it'd be a while before that could realistically happen. I don't think it could realistically happen in the U.S. both for logistical reasons and for political reasons. There would be a huge outcry, and there already is on much smaller measures to try to reform things. You know,
right. Okay, so let's bring it back up to the present.
All right. All right.
The DUR is still on the Senate's chopping block, but we are running out of legislative time, right?
Yeah.
And they couldn't possibly actually do it, right? They couldn't possibly actually defund the Department of Revenue because how would you function as a state?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I mean, it almost has to be a bluff, right?
I think it's signaling, right? It's just aggressive signaling saying, yeah. like, we won't take this from you.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, we demand that you do your job and do what we think your job is, I guess. But yeah, I don't know of any time that's ever happened before. That would be unprecedented. It's not a Parks Department or something. It's not essential either, but it's the Department of Revenue. It's
the DMV.
It's a pretty basic function of the government to have that exist and be able to function. Because right. I don't know how that – I mean, you have had government shutdowns before, but to just shut down one department based on this. And it's not – that's the other thing is it's not really clear to me yet exactly what Schaefer wants that's not happening yet. Basically, what he keeps asking for is, you know, a lot more, I guess, cooperation on this investigation.
Right. Schaefer and the Speaker of the House are both calling for some kind of task force, committee, group, something like that, that would kind of pursue this this Department of Revenue debacle basically in the off hours,
right.
in the off season when the Senate's not around. They want to make sure the heat is still on them even when they aren't able to threaten defunding.
Right, but it's still – I don't know. I guess I'm not really clear on exactly – what they want to see before the budget's due. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Because it seems, yeah, maybe it's just they just don't want the issue to go away. They want it to actually get done instead of everybody go, you know what, we got a week left. Let's just play it cool and go to baseball games this summer and buy lobbyists pay for our baseball games.
Yeah.
So that's what it seems. Yeah, like you're saying, they want to have this investigation, which, you know, I would think will happen one way or another, really, when you get down to it, because it seems to be mostly Republicans that are upset. Again, at the state level, we've got a very strongly Republican. It's funny, earlier you said in a red state like Missouri, and being from Missouri, it wasn't always that way. You know what I mean? So it's
right.
kind of funny that, like, I felt like, oh, I need to, you know, put a qualifier in there. And we really don't anymore. Because we used to be a swing state, and we just haven't been for a long time.
Yeah, Missouri used to be a swing state, and it wasn't until like the early 90s or late 80s that the legislature actually turned Republican.
Yeah.
It used to be a majority Republican legislature, and yeah. Now we got this weird split government, this weird divided
Yeah,
government.
Well, yeah, it's very strange. We got Democratic governor, but then we got this veto-proof majority in the House and Senate, which is just, you know, basically we've got enough that Republicans can – basically pass whatever they want without the governor as long as they're all on the mm-hmm. same page.
Well, this is a good segue. I want to talk about the politics behind it too, right? Because here you got Speaker Jones and also Kurt Schaefer. Both are about to be termed out mm-hmm. of the Senate, right? And Jones has actually talked about how he's actually mentioned that he's thinking about running for attorney general in 2016. So you can kind of see how maybe this Department of Revenue attack is a good is kind of a good stepping stone to the Attorney General's office, that he's, because that's a lot of what the Attorney General does, right? Kind of mm-hmm. going after miscreant business people and even government agencies sometimes.
Yep. And the Attorney General then is the other stepping stone. Who else was Attorney General? Jay Nixon.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of those stepping stone positions that, you know, catapults you into a bunch of other positions in the state and federal, you know, at the congressional level as well. So, yeah, you're right. There's probably a little bit of that at play. And that's some of that inside baseball, why politicians do the things that they do.
Yeah. I wonder about a Schaefer. I'm not sure where he wants to be. He's definitely making a lot of noise, getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, he did recently switch over because he's going to be termed out, as you mentioned. He did switch over his fundraising campaign, and I can't remember the qualification or the classification now, but it's basically general enough that he can kind of go wherever, do whatever he wants with whatever funds are going to be right at the moment.
So sounds like he doesn't know.
He hasn't really said. How about that? He might know. And a lot of that, you know, there's a lot of, again, politics. There's a lot of that that goes on at the state level. You know, what are you going to run for? What am I going to run for? You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on mm-hmm. with that. But, you know, he's an interesting guy anyway, because he wasn't for sure that he was even going to be back this year. You know, he beat Mary Still, but, you know, being a Republican in this district is somewhat unusual. Not unusual,
right.
But it's very tough because of all the – this is still that little blue spot on the map, right, is Boone County in Columbia. But he was still able to win re-election. Well, I shouldn't say re-election. I'm getting tangential here. But
yeah, there was redistricting.
Redistricting
that
and all that. But he was able to keep that, I think, first, like, three-term Republican senator in Boone County. So yeah, he's definitely so there's not a whole lot for him here, I guess, if he's going to stay local. But he doesn't seem – I think it's pretty clear he wants to be somewhere else on the state level. But yeah, he's someone to watch, of course. I mean, as somebody who took on Senate appropriations, when that's a pretty unpopular position to have when everything's getting cut, he's definitely got some ambition, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And we did skip one of the last steps in that progression of what happened here in the state, is that the governor, Governor Nixon, also said that the scanning of documents should not happen anymore, that it's not essential to the process.
Right. Yeah, we no longer do this. There's no more scanning.
No more scanning. Yeah. So, and that was something that came out the day after, actually, Brian Long resigned. The next day, a press release came. And, you know, I noticed this, and I didn't notice it until a few days later, but the press release that Governor Nixon had on that came out on a Wednesday, and it actually had the date of Friday on it. I don't want to spin the wheels of controversy.
That's really
here.
Good.
But it was funny. But yeah. It was funny to me. I just noticed it because later I was trying to go back and find. But it's like, you know, you got to wonder how the release of government and decisions like that take place. Maybe it was something he wanted to wait a few days for. There's your speculation and your conspiracy for the show today.
Jesus.
But regardless, the next day he took that step, which is a pretty significant step. If that hadn't happened, I'm guessing that's something Republicans would have been calling for. That's why, you know, but I think it's an opportunity, to hold some people's feet to the fire. I think, you know, like you said, Republicans are some of these leaders are taking advantage of that situation, trying to move some things forward, but also have legitimate concerns for how this process went.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we do it?
I hope we did it. I think, again, if anyone listens, hopefully they can tell us if we didn't do it, and we can maybe tell them more, tell them what we know.
Yeah.
But that's about, I think that pretty much did it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the Department of Revenue scandal. Like we said, ongoing. This is likely to change. Probably going to see some kind of official investigation happen.
Yeah, I'd say it's likely.
It's probably not going to be actually defunded, but that will still be held to their
heads. I'd be really surprised. If that's the case, then it's going to be a fun few weeks, months until, because eventually, you know, I've got to renew my license. I haven't checked when mine's due.
Your gun license?
Yeah, my gun license. No, my driver's license. Oh, I've got a couple of years, so I'll be fine.
Okay, I'm going to end it. I'm going to end the show. We went too long again.
I'm sorry, Mid-Missouri.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's Como Explained. I forgot to write an outro, so I'm just going to say tweet us at KBIA. You know, I think I wrote it somewhere, but I can't find it anymore. So that's it for me. I'm Scott Pham.
And I'm Ryan Femuliner.
All right. See you next time.